1230 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Matt Piper in Des Moines, Iowa, where it's been a big night for Donald Trump.
We want to thank the great people of Iowa. Thank you. We love you all. What a turnout, what a crowd. And I really think this is time now for everybody, our country, to come together. We want to come together.
CBS News projects he has won these Iowa caucuses. And while caucusing began 3 hours ago, there is still this race for second place. Historically, the Iowa caucuses do not necessarily predict the party's nominee, but it does help shape the race. The next big event, the New Hampshire primary, 1 week from tomorrow. I'm Matt Piper in Iowa. Now with more CBS News, here's Jennifer Kuiper.
You can stream continuing live coverage of the Iowa caucuses on the free CBS News app. The delay and cancellation boards lit up at some key U.S. airports as a wide swath of the country battles snow and frigid temperatures. CBS's Omar Villafranca says even Memphis, Tennessee is struggling with a couple of inches of snow.
The snow that they've had today is like more than they've had in the last 2 years combined, but total-wise, it's not a huge, huge amount, but it's enough for this area to basically cripple everything. I mean, they got anywhere from 2 to 3 inches, and we've only seen a handful of salt and sand trucks.
Extreme temperatures have prompted Denver and Chicago to shut down public schools tomorrow. United Airlines says it has completed inspections on plug doors in 20 of its grounded 737 MAX 9 jets. This follows that emergency landing of an Alaska Airlines jet when a panel door blew off mid-flight. CBS's Chris Van Cleve has more on the fallout at Boeing.
Boeing is pledging to bring in an outside party to do an independent assessment of its quality control system as well. Now, those measures are independent of the increased FAA scrutiny of Boeing's operations and the regulators' ongoing investigation. And those changes are also in addition to any findings that come out of the NTSB investigation.
The Miracle on the Hudson was 15 years ago today. Pilot Chesley Sully Sullenberger was in the cockpit of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 from New York City to Charlotte when a bird strike just after takeoff forced a landing on the Hudson River. Sullenberger recalls,
"We had to set clear priorities, do the few things that would help us the most, that were the most essential things to make our situation better, but do them very, very well, and then have the mental discipline to ignore everything else we didn't have time to do as being only distractions."
All 155 on board survived. The Buffalo Bills advance in the NFL playoffs.
Time runs out. The Bills advance. They win in the wild card round for the fourth consecutive year.
Jim Nantz with the call on CBS. The Bills beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-17 and will host the Chiefs on Sunday. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin have had to endure the coldest weather of the winter so far without power to heat their homes and businesses. Most of the outages are in southeast Wisconsin, where We Energy says it expects to have all the power back on by midday Tuesday. Arctic air is forecasted to keep highs in the single digits through Tuesday. A bipartisan bill would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana. Under the bill, anyone with less than 14 grams would not face criminal charges but would have to pay a $100 fine. It would also lower the penalties for being caught a second time. Several Wisconsin cities have already decriminalized possessing small amounts of marijuana. Assembly Republicans introduced a bill to legalize medical marijuana last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers advance in the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a stunning win. Green Bay 48-32 over the heavily favored Cowboys in Dallas. Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored 3 touchdowns. Jordan Love threw 3 touchdowns and had nearly a perfect quarterback rating of 157.2.
It's been a long season. We've been counted out. Can't say enough how proud I am of everybody in the locker room.
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy on the loss.
I don't think anybody saw this coming. I mean, you got to give Green Bay credit. They came in here hot, and yeah, we're hurting.
Team owner Jerry Jones.
The coaching to the players to what's around the corner on a personal basis, I'm floored.
The Packers face the 49ers on the road Saturday night, 7:15 in the divisional playoffs. NBA, the Bucks with a 144-143 win in overtime against the Sacramento Kings. Damian Lillard coming up with a huge three-point winning shot at the buzzer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Wind chill advisory tonight, 10 below zero. Wind chills of 20 to 30 below. For Tuesday, mostly sunny and cold, single-digit high temperatures, and winds out of the west gusting to 30 miles per hour. Keep our wind chills at 20 to 30 below zero. Wednesday, partly sunny and 12. Right now, 4 degrees below.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the makings being made every second of every day, whether you're awake, asleep, whether you're paying attention or not. Well, we're paying attention. Today's a great day, Martin Luther King Day, the day in remembrance of the great Dr. Martin Luther King. He was assassinated in 1968. He was 39 years old. He's a very important historical figure. I want to remind people, because I was around when all this happened. Many of you were not. Some of you were. But consider the following. Consider the following. I remember my father, who was a professor at UWM, who told me back in the early 60s even, you know, you think that somehow this is ancient history? You think that somehow this is a long time ago? It's not a long time ago. It's modern history. Back in the early 60s, 64, 65, that area, my dad was a professor of Spanish. He was the chairman of the Spanish department at UWM. And he would attend the Modern Language Association every year. The Modern Language Association was universities, Spanish departments would get together, listen to lectures. People would interview for professorships and teaching positions and all that. And he said, whenever I went to an MLA meeting in the 60s, the early 60s, even the middle 60s, if it was in the South, they said, don't drive. Don't drive there with Northern license plates. You're going to get into trouble. Fly into the airport and rent a car with that state's license plates. And that was how recently that occurred in the 60s. There's also a thing called the Green Book, and you may have seen a movie called Green Book, where there was a black musician is being chauffeured in areas by this white chauffeur. It's kind of a neat movie, except that it really masks a very, very sad historical fact. Up until the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and even for years afterwards, until that was all nailed down in litigation, black people frequently would not be served at gas stations, at hotels, and at restaurants. People would just say, no, we're not going to serve you. Humiliate the guy. He's there with his wife, his kids, say, I'm not going to serve you food. Can't buy gas. In those days, it wasn't self-serve. You had to, the guy came out and filled it for you. Wouldn't let you in a motel or a hotel. So a thing got published called the Green Book, and that was a state-by-state list of what gas stations, hotels, and restaurants would serve black people. Now you may think, well, that had been a long time ago. It wasn't a long time ago. The last Green Book in Wisconsin was published in 1965. And I've talked to elderly black people who told me that they'd rely on it. There are a couple of gas stations in Milwaukee that would let them serve them on gas. A couple of motels or hotels in Milwaukee and restaurants. And obviously Milwaukee was a heck of a lot better than Alabama or Mississippi. But even in Wisconsin, there was a Green Book. And that would tell folks where they could be treated like anybody else, get a hotel room, get a meal, get fuel. Civil rights workers were murdered in the South in the early 60s. They were murdered for going down there and trying to register people to vote. And these were white civil rights workers as well as black civil rights workers. The most recent personal experience I had with any of this was in 1970. I had just gotten out of OCS in the Navy, and I was assigned to a base in a ship at a Little Creek, Virginia. And so what we used to have back then is you get a small apartment so you'd have some place to stay when you were in port. Of course, when you were deployed, you didn't need it. So I had an apartment in Norfolk, and it was very close to the base. It was also very close to an amusement park, you know, rides and that kind of thing, and kind of a neat amusement park. That amusement park was segregated until 1967, 3 years before I had joined the Navy and been assigned there. 3 years before, if you were a black sailor, black Marine, black soldier, you couldn't have gone there. You could not have gone there. And why was it as late as 1967 when the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was 3 years before? And that's because people didn't obey the Civil Rights Act of 1964. They would sit back and they would tell people they wouldn't serve them. And, you know, most people don't bring a lawsuit over that. They don't have the resources. It took a series of litigation. It took a series of incidents, very, very unpleasant incidents. And finally, because of the work that was started by John F. Kennedy and finished up under Lyndon Johnson, and frankly, it had some antecedents with Dwight Eisenhower. He sent federal troops in the South to enroll black kids when they were excluded from universities. This was an ongoing struggle, and it's still an ongoing struggle. It's still an ongoing struggle. Milwaukee has a reputation of being the most segregated city in the country, and it's not by law, it's by custom. It's simply because you can look at geographical housing patterns. You can look at social patterns. You can talk all you want. You can talk to your blue in the face, but who do you socialize with? Who do you have over for dinner? Who do you go out to dinner with? And the truth of the matter is, it's still very, very, very much a segregated society. But back as recently as the 60s, it was segregated by law and broad social custom. And if you were a black person, you had to be careful where you went so that you wouldn't be insulted in terms of being accommodated. Now, I'll tell you something else. I remember 1968, Reverend Martin Luther King was assassinated, I think it was in April. And in June, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in California after the California primary. John F. Kennedy was assassinated in November of 1963. In less than 5 years, in 4.5 years, we had 3 assassinations. John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Bobby Kennedy. And that was a shock to the culture in the politics of this country that from which we have not recovered. It's engendered a deep suspicion of government, and it's engendered a deep division among people. Think about that. Three of the most prominent people in the country assassinated in 4.5 years. In each case, by the right wing, or in the case of Bobby Kennedy, by Sirhan, who objected to Bobby Kennedy's support of Israel and support of sending planes for Israel to defend itself. This is a terrible time. My favorite song is Abraham, Martin, and John. Don't know if you ever heard it, but if you haven't heard it, you should play it. Has anybody here seen my old friend Abraham, and then Martin, and then John, and then soon it'll be Bobby? It's a magnificent song, my favorite song. Well, on to other political subjects now. It's not as if politics stopped in 1968. Iowa caucuses tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Central Time, which is our time. There's a lot of baloney being thrown about it. Let's talk about the weather. I don't want to beat a dead horse. Everybody's talking about the weather. It's going to be cold down there. Well, it's cold in Milwaukee, too, but it's colder down there because there's no Lake Michigan near it. No Lake Michigan near it. But it's as cold as some places in northern Wisconsin. You know, wind chill in double digits, 20, 30 below. I don't think it's going to have much of an effect. It may reduce participation, but I think it may do it equally. I don't see that as being a big factor in terms of the relative performance of everyone. Polls show Trump ahead. They show Nikki Haley in second place by 4 points. It's within margin of error. She and DeSantis, I think she's at 20, he's at 16. That's meaningless in a caucus, trying to find out who's going to go out there and show up. But Trump's ahead by double digits. And everybody is going to look at this in kind of a political science way and go, who exceeded expectations? Who fell under expectations? Everybody's trying to minimize their chances. And this goes on every 4 years. And let me tell you something else. In the process, I went to the Iowa caucuses in 2008. I was part of the campaign for Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama had been surging ahead, and they went to Iowa. I was with Hillary because Bill and Hillary had been friends of mine since 1992. I first met Bill in 1981 when he was governor of Arkansas, and they were good friends. I liked Barack Obama too, and I support him 100% in the general election. But the Iowa caucuses are a mess. They're a cluster. They really are. They had a rule back then. They violate all rules. Everything that I've heard is that Trump's inner party controls those caucuses, so look for it to be kind of a lot of shenanigans. One of the things they had back in 2016, the Democratic caucuses, was that you could be from out of state. You couldn't vote, but you could help organize. The minute we went there, we got thrown out and had to stand along the sidelines and do our work from there. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Iowa caucuses, and then we are going to talk about the debt deal or non-deal to avoid a default of this country coming up.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk a little more about the Iowa caucuses. There's a lot of talk about demographics, like who's for Trump, you know, who's for DeSantis, who's for Nikki Haley. I don't place much store on that. A lot of folks will say, well, that Nikki Haley is basically reenacting Marco Rubio's last time he ran 2016. He did a terrible job, but he came in close in the Iowa caucuses. And the idea is that somehow Nikki Haley is going to do better around Des Moines and the college towns, Iowa City and that kind of thing, and that somehow Trump's going to do better out in the rural areas, and somehow DeSantis blew it because he was seen as an alternative to Trump, and he's done a pathetic job. The truth of the matter is none of the three are presidential material. Trump, because he's a criminal and because he's betrayed us to Russia, among other things, into Saudi Arabia. And the other two, not only aren't they presidential, but if you took a look at the debate between them, it was like a high school insult fest, just calling each other names. They're not presidential. I don't want any one of these people on the front lines making decisions about our future and our defense or anything close to it. But let me tell you a little bit more about how this works. The Democrats have rejected caucuses, and rightly so. Many of us, after the experience in 08 and in 16, said that they're not only they're not representative, but they're all manipulated by insiders. You show up, in this case, in the Republican caucus, because they're still going to stick with the caucuses in a gym somewhere in a school. I was in Independence, Iowa, at a middle school. So you go there and you stand around and they say, okay, everybody for, say, Trump in this corner and everybody for DeSantis in this corner, everyone for Nikki Haley in that corner. And believe it or not, that, you know, Edward Scissorhands, Ramaswamy, is still nosing and sniffing around before he gets thrown out in the cold. So he's going to sniff around and have a few people. And in the Democratic side, if you didn't meet a certain percentage, this was back in 08, they're not doing it anymore, then you were free and you should align with someone else. And you couldn't do certain things. And well, the minute we got there to try to help direct the caucuses, which we were permitted to do in the rules, they said, get out of here. We don't know anybody from Wisconsin or anybody else. And I said, well, that's fine, except your rules say you can, as long as we don't vote. Now I get out of here. And then they all shined around. And, you know, it's not the only way to nominate people, in my view, is with primaries. Primaries, they go down there. It's a secret vote. The problem with caucuses is you have to declare in public. You stand there physically. If your employer finds out you're in a small town and a small manufacturing plant and you were for, say, Bernie Sanders, they really didn't like that. It could cost you your job. It could hurt you some. So a lot of people wouldn't go down there for that reason. In this case, if somebody doesn't like Trump or doesn't like DeSantis or doesn't like and Nikki Haley, or you go for Vivek Ramaswamy and they go, are you out of your mind? Your employer, your friends, your social groups all find out. They know about it. And the danger in that is people are deterred. With Trump, you know, Trump has, his supporters have sent death threats to people who don't support him. in the Senate, Mitt Romney, and this was also true, Nancy Pelosi had been told this, there were Republican House members who wanted to vote to impeach Trump, especially on January 6th, and they said they were afraid. They were getting threats, and one of them said, why should I expose my wife and my kids to risk? So he voted against the impeachment. And Mitt Romney was the only senator to vote to convict on the first impeachment regarding Ukraine. There were about eight of them that voted to convict on the second. Said he had senators who said, yeah, I want to vote to convict this guy. He's a criminal, but I am not going to jeopardize the lives of my wife and my kids. You've got to understand this. Those of you who are out there thinking, oh, well, maybe Trump is okay. And no, that is not okay. And when you are in a caucus and you're not for Trump in one of these areas, can you imagine in an area that's strongly for Trump, otherwise it gets around, you're for Nikki Haley? They're characterizing her as a cross between Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama. They are characterizing her as other. You can't, if you are in a red Trump area, you are risking things by standing up in a corner in a gymnasium in a small town. You're risking things. You'll get cold shoulders and you'll get threats. And if Trump underperforms, you may get worse than that. That's why I don't like caucuses. They're not anonymous. You can't vote without doing it in public. And the best is the primary. The best, in my view, is the open primary, like we have in Wisconsin. Very few states have it anymore. You don't register as a Democrat or Republican in Wisconsin. You go down there and you walk into the machine and you don't even tell the clerk when they hand you a ballot to feed into the electronic reader what kind of ballot you want. You get everything on the ballot. The only restriction is that if you vote in the Democratic primary, you can't vote like for president in the Democratic primary and something else in the Republican primary. I'm talking about the primary now, not the general election. General election, you could vote Democrat for president in November and Republican for Congress if you wanted. But in a primary, and the April primary, which is our presidential primary, is usually other nonpartisan stuff, judges and mayors and so on. But in August, when you have a partisan primary, you may have one for a senator and you may have one for Congress. You can't vote in the Democratic and Republican primaries, even for different offices. But that's fine. It's an open primary and nobody knows how you voted. And this thing in Iowa is going to be very, very unreliable. You know, Trump will probably win. People are afraid not to vote for him in a lot of areas of the state for their physical safety. And frankly, because it may cost them their jobs or at least a promotion or at least a lot of hard stuff at work, which they don't want. And nobody wants something like that. So there you have it. If they're coming up, I'd encourage you to watch simply to see how it's turning out. Predict, obviously, that Trump wins. Who comes in second? I don't know. I don't think it much matters because he has control of the nominating apparatus in so many states. So many states, that is a practical matter. It's a foregone conclusion. The New Hampshire primary is a week from tomorrow, and Super Tuesday is March 5th, about 6 weeks away, March 5th. And then you're going to know who the nominee is. So not a lot of mystery to this, but there's a lot of criminality with Trump. I'm not just talking about the indictments. I'm talking about his betrayal of this country, his destruction of democracy. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and we are going to talk about this sad deal that Mike Johnson has forged with the right-wing nuts in his caucus to keep us afloat, and I'll tell you for how long, and it's not very long. It's coming up very shortly.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report, the Iowa caucuses.
CBS News projects former President Trump will win the caucuses. He spoke moments ago.
We're going to drill, baby, drill right away. Yeah. Drill, baby, drill. We're going to seal up the border. Because right now we have an invasion.
CBS News projects Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will place second in the Iowa caucuses. CBS's Matt Piper in Iowa says abortion motivated many.
Most Iowa Republican caucus voters said they favor a nationwide ban on all or most abortions, and those voters went for Donald Trump. Nikki Haley, who has attempted to moderate her message on abortion, ran close behind Trump among those voters who oppose a national ban.
And this late word, Vivek Ramaswamy has just suspended his long shot campaign endorsing Donald Trump. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are to be put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. Public health experts say misinformation is contributing to a dangerous decline in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Dr. Monica Wang is with Boston University's School of Public Health. She says lies about vaccines spread faster than the truth.
Health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
At the same time, cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Wind chill advisory tonight, 10 below zero. Wind chills of 20 to 30 below. For Tuesday, mostly sunny and cold, single-digit high temperatures, and winds out of the west gusting to 30 miles per hour. Keep our wind chills at 20 to 30 below zero. Wednesday, partly sunny and 12.
Right now, 4 degrees below.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Right to the lines. Bob and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, in honor of Martin Luther King Day, I thought of three instances where I got shocked on the campaign trail. And in 1988, I was twice confronted with voters who I was campaigning for Jesse Jackson, and they said, I wouldn't vote for that N-word, you know, the six-letter word. And that happened twice to me. It happened to all the white people on our campaign trail. All the black people said, oh, that's daily activity to us. But we were all shocked to be walking in the shoes of a black man and realizing that racism is real. Then the other shock was when I was working on the recall in 2011 and went to a door in Stoughton, Wisconsin, and knocked on the door and asked for the woman there, you know, to come out and vote because she'd signed the recall petition. And the man who had answered the door immediately wanted to kick her out of the house. So those are my shockers for the day.
Well, Bob, thanks for calling. Yeah, well, that's disgusting. And I'll tell you, well, Jesse Jackson, I've met Jesse Jackson. I met him several times in Milwaukee when he was campaigning. And he's a good guy. He's an interesting guy. He also, I think, you know, he was controversial, but basically, yeah, he was one of Dr. King's principal lieutenants. I think he was with him on the balcony of the Lorraine Hotel when Dr. King was shot. And Jesse Jackson, I think history will treat him quite kindly as a civil rights icon. So I'm glad that you got to work for him or with him. With regard to the other thing, I mean, you know, I couldn't tell from your story whether or not the woman was the guy's wife or a co-owner of the house or significant other, what she was. But, you know, there are people, I like politics. I follow politics, obviously, but I don't let it destroy me. And there are people I know who are for Trump and all that, and I don't engage with them, but there are some people out there, and that's why you get this wellspring of hatred and wellspring of violence. And Trump is very expert in fanning it, in appealing to it. And a lot of what is going on, his perceived support in the House and in the Senate, some of it is legitimate, but some of it, when I say legitimate, I don't think any of it's legitimate, but some of it is honest, at least they actually support the guy. But I think there are a lot of people who are afraid, and we're going to see more of that if he ever got in as president. He is using fear, and he's using threats and death threats and threats to family. Done it to the judges in cases that he's appearing in front of, prosecutors, law clerks, witnesses. And he is creating an envelope of fear. We can't have this back in office. This guy has got to be stopped. He's absolutely got to be stopped. I want to talk about this deal that was achieved, and they call it a deal. I mean, I think it's kind of a sad thing, but over this weekend, the Dr. Martin Luther King weekend, there was a deal hammered out that Mike Johnson has apparently gotten his most right-wing nuts to A, not say the chair is vacant, and B, just kick the can down the road. What they're saying is, for instance, remember I told you that January 19, this Friday, was a deadline for four agencies, about 20% of the government. February 2nd was the deadline for the rest of the government. They've just changed that to March 1 and March 8. So by March 1, so that gives them about 6 weeks, 20% of the government will be shut down. And by March 8, The rest of it will be shut down if they don't come up with a budget for now, the fiscal year, this coming year, till September 30, 2024. Now, consider what that means. First of all, we're going to pay even more interest on our national debt because of this chicanery. No sane company, much less a country, refuses to pay its debts, refuses to pay the employees that keep it going, refuses to pay their soldiers, their sailors, Marines and airmen, no other country. This is being done by a handful of Republican zealots who hate the United States and are trying to cause disruption because they think that'll return them to power. They are threatening not to pay our military. They've already not promoted our military for 10 months in the middle of wars. Well, now there's a bombing. We're going to talk about that in a bit against Yemen on Friday again. And then this morning, Yemen actually hit with a missile, a U.S.-owned commercial ship, a carrier. And they also targeted a destroyer, one of our destroyers, in the Red Sea. And then what happened was one of our planes shot the missile down. But you can't be playing onesies and twosies the rest of your life and you have to have 100% success. If one missile goes through and kills our sailors, I think Biden's done a very, very good job of containing this up until now. But there are a couple of things that are going to have to be done. One of them is what John Kennedy did with the Cuban Missile Crisis. He told the Russians, if you launch a missile, a nuclear missile, anywhere in the Western Hemisphere, South America, North America, we will consider it's against North America and respond directly to you. And then Khrushchev knew that Moscow and St. Petersburg would be Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he backed down. Now, in this particular one, Iran is behind this. They are behind the Houthis. They're behind Hamas. They're behind Hezbollah. And so far, they haven't been bombed. They haven't been bombed. But the fact is that their proxies, and Houthis are their proxies, are now attacking us more directly. And I think that Biden has to give the message, and he can do it diplomatically, he can do it in other ways, but he can give the message. If these attacks come against American forces, you will be pay the price directly. And there are a lot of targets in Tehran, their nuclear facility, their electrical grid, their navy, their airport, their, you can't call it a parliament, but their government. And we can inflict punishing attacks on them. Now, we haven't done it so far because they're allies of China, they're allies of Russia, and you don't want to just gratuitously do something like that, but it is coming to that. But the one thing I want to get in before we go to the lines, I see when the lines do not hang up, is this. We have three adversaries in the world directly right now. Russia, Iran, and the Republican Party in the United States. Out of sheer vanity, these Republicans are using rules. There are a small minority of people doing this. They're using the unanimous consent and filibuster rules in the Senate, and they're using vacate the chair rule in the House, and the requirement in the House that you pass a rule vote before you can go to the legislation you're voting on. And they are denying 8, 10, 15 votes in the House and maybe 2 or 3 in the Senate to control the government, to betray us, to commit treason. Tuberville, Rand Paul, Cruz in the Senate. Ron Johnson is in bed with him. And in the House, the usual suspects, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Bob Good, Scott Perry, Gosar, the rest of them. Those rules are easily changed. But out of vanity, the buttercups on the Democratic side are not changing those rules. They can do it by majority vote. And if they got behind it, there would be enough Republicans to go along with them. But instead, what's happening is that if they vote to vacate the chair, all the Democrats vote for Hakeem Jeffries, who's never going to be Speaker with a Republican majority, and then demand that he be. The chair would then lose 8, 10, 12 Republicans and it would be vacant again. This has got to stop. There has got to be an agreement between their 190 to 200 Democrats and about 150 Republicans who are for the United States, who are for paying our military, who are for winning these wars. And it's got to happen damn quick. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
The Trump hardcore supporters, I've noticed they have one thing in common. A couple of them that I knew that I pretty much totally disassociated with, because you can't get through to them with anything, is that they have got a grievance about somebody getting something that they don't deserve, like immigrants and the student loan type thing. And I go, you know, the student loan thing is a great thing. It's putting money back in the economy. Oh, what are you talking about? I put myself through school. I said, you're comparing apples to oranges when you went to school. These guys are my age, like in their late 60s. You can't compare that. But then the other thing, if you put a hypothetical, I bet if you took 10 of them that are real hardcore and you had a hot mic on Trump and he didn't know it and they had to listen to him for a half a day, they wouldn't be fans of him anymore because the guy has nothing in common with you. And I've tried to tell these guys that and they don't buy it. And I said, he has nothing whatsoever in common with you. He's using you.
Right. Well, some people are afraid of him because they think that their kids and their wife will be in danger. This is not dissimilar to what happened in Germany in the 1930s. He's doing it with a more American face. That's all. Fred of Cottage Grove, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Fred?
Good afternoon, Matt. How long can the Republicans keep kicking the budget down the road? All the way till the next election?
Well, you know, I think what's going to happen is May 1st, we'll kick it to April 1st. Fred, do you know what that does to our interest rates? Why do you think our credit rating has been lowered several times? Right now, we're paying a couple of percent more in interest because the credit agencies are saying, well, there's risk that you won't get paid on the bonds you bought, the treasuries. Well, you know, there's no risk really, but the thing is when you have the issuer of the bonds, which is the United States and it's controlled by the Congress, when you have them say, we may not pay, and then doing stuff at 11:59 before the midnight, when there would be a default, you know, our national debt now is about $34 trillion. You know how much in interest, 2 or 3% extra, unnecessary, billions of dollars, billions, well, they get real sanctimonious. They've got to vote for a budget. And quite frankly, it's these rules. It's unanimous consent, filibuster, the rule vote, and also the business of vacate the chair that's impeding it. And there are 350 congressmen, and there are about 80 senators who don't like it, and they won't do a damn thing. They're lazy, very lazy. They're full of vanity. They accomplish nothing. They sit there and they're hurting the United States and they're hurting the Republican Party, those of them who are Republicans, because they won't even give 9 votes to bust a filibuster. They won't give 9 votes to promote generals and admirals, even colonels, even captains. They you know, these people will deliberately stab our military and our FBI and our credit rating for their petty little vanity and to get into power because they think it hurts Biden. All right, coming up, the bombing of Yemen, something that happened in London, something that happened in Israel today. And we have got to have a unified response to this coming up.
The Shaw, WAUK.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? Created more than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. On Friday, the United States bombed Yemen again. Now, take a look at a map of the Red Sea, Gulf of Aden. Take a look at a map feeding up into the Suez Canal from the Red Sea. Yemen is positioned there. Yemen is a country that has been in civil war for 10 years. Saudi Arabia is backing the government as bombs, the Houthis. It's really a religious conflict within Islam. Saudi Arabia and the majority are Sunni Muslims. Iran backing the Houthis are Shiite Muslims. And believe it or not, Saudi Arabia hates Iran more than it hates Israel. What's going on, this went back 1,300 years. In the end of the 7th century, when the prophet passed away, there's a dispute as to who should succeed him. Should it be a blood relative, or should it be one of his most trusted lieutenants? And that's the dispute that has divided Islam ever since. Now, Yemen just sits there, and they think they can keep launching missiles at ships, including military ships, including oil ships, container carrier ships, effectively shutting down the Suez Canal. They're getting their arms from Iran. They're getting their missiles from Iran. Iran is also producing missiles for the Ruskies, who are using them against the Ukrainians and killing Ukrainian troops. The question is, at what point do we intervene against Iran directly? And we don't do it lightly. We don't do it lightly, but consider a couple of other things. In London this weekend, there was a pro-Hamas rally, had a lot of people, anti-Israel. And one of their principal speakers said, quote, "Our day will come, but we must normalize massacres as a status quo. Our day will come, but we must normalize massacres as our status quo," referring to the October 7 attacks on civilians in which they butchered people. 12 and 13-year-old girls not only raped them, but genitally mutilated them. Israel found pieces of human flesh scattered around the area. They had to use DNA to find out who it came from. The guy who said this is a guy named Mohammed El-Kurd. He also said that Zionism is genocide, it's murder, we must root it out of the world. And this guy is simply marching in London, England. And we've had similar people like that in this country. Today, breaking news, I came on the air, terror attack just north of Tel Aviv, and two people who've been arrested used automobiles to ram people at a bus stop and stab them, killed a woman, injured a lot of other people. Now, the responsible governments, the government of Egypt, the government of Jordan, the government of the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, we can have differences with them but they can act reasonably. Saudi Arabia is not reasonable. Chainsaw Charlie killed Khashoggi. Some of his military people killed our sailors in Florida in December of 2018 when they're being trained. He is not reliable, but he is more afraid of Iran and more afraid of jihad against him than he is of Israel or the West. So it's time that this coalition got put together and did something about Yemen, did something about Iran, and did something about terror attacks against Israel. Because terror attacks against Israel are going to be multiplied by terror attacks against the Saudi government, against the Jordanians, and against the United Arab Emirates. It's a matter of time. So what do we do? In this country, our immigration system is such that we are admitting people because we think that it's good for diversity, which it's not, to march with swastikas, say death to Israel, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, mean the elimination of Israel, and so on. We don't have to agree with everything that Netanyahu does, and there will be a reckoning for Netanyahu after this war is over within Israel. But the truth of the matter is that what's going on over there, you cannot shut down the Suez Canal to start with. You cannot shut down the Red Sea. You can't do it. What that produces is about 4,000 to 5,000 longer journey for ships coming from from Asia to go around Africa rather than to come through and up the Red Sea in the Suez Canal. It increases costs by 20%. It's inflationary by about that amount. And what are we going to do? You can bomb the Houthis till you're blue in the face. They've been bombed by Saudi Arabia for 10 years. They have nothing. They accomplish nothing. They're a defective culture. And their entire existence is to sit there and do nihilistic things. But the people giving them their weapons and giving the Ruskies drones against the Ukrainians are in Iran. Iran is a tumor. It's a glioblastoma on human civilization. Not the people. I had a friend, Herzl Spiro, a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, who told me that, and he's a Jewish guy, and he told me that he worked in Iran up till the Shah fell. The Iranian people are wonderful people, very, very smart, very, very accomplished, but they have fallen under the sway of these fundamentalists ever since 1979. And that is what they're inflicting on the world. China and Russia are going along with it, because China and Russia are anti-West. So I want the message to go out that it's about time we stuck up for Western civilization, Western values, Western culture, due process, equal protection, separation of church and state, freedom, democracy. Everybody takes that for granted. Don't take it for granted. They don't have it in Iran. They don't have it in China. They don't have it in Russia. They don't have it anywhere in the Middle East except Israel. Israel is an outpost of Western civilization in the Middle East. And the time has to come. And Biden is the most experienced president we've ever had in foreign policy. Been at it longer. And he has a terrific team, Lloyd Austin, the chiefs of staff, and everybody else. And they know what to do. They know what to do. But I just want it known that from my perspective, and I think a lot of people's perspective, it's about time that we may have to intervene against Iran directly. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, a lot of news and weather, and an incredible thing. The redistricting is coming down to brass tacks. We're going to give an analysis of all the maps that are pending.
Out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line, because you're mine, I walk the line.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is